This morning, if you're able, take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11:4 says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh." Let's pray. Father, this morning as we continue in this series on faith, I pray, Father, this morning as we look at Abel in this section of Scripture, I pray, Father, this morning that we would see that we need to have faith. We need to have faith. In fact, the Bible tells us it's impossible to please you without faith. So I pray, Father, this morning that we have faith, that we have come to meet with you, and that we've come that our faith might increase. And as we continue through this journey, I pray that we would see that no matter where they were, no matter what their circumstances were, each of these that we'll look at all had something in common, and that was faith, faith in God. So I pray, Father, this morning that we would continue to look to you and that our faith would increase, and that through this we'll be drawn closer to you. And we thank you, Father, as we go to this message. I pray that you'd put the very words in my mouth that I need to speak, that they would go out and they would not return unto you void, as your word says, but they would go out and accomplish that which you sent them to. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today we're going to continue this theory, this series rather, on faith, the heroes of the faith, right? A lot of people have called this the faith chapter, the heroes of the faith, the faithful, whatever you want to call it. It goes through and it shows us that people, no matter what they were going through, no matter where they were, they still kept the faith. Now, people say, well, they weren't perfect. I'll say, nobody's perfect, right? Brother Fred's been going through about Solomon. Solomon had great wisdom, right? In fact, there won't be anyone else like him as far as wisdom, God said. But doesn't mean we shouldn't pray for wisdom. I'm not saying that. We need wisdom too. But he made some mistakes. We all do. The heroes of the faith were put here so that we can see no matter what we're going through, no matter what the circumstances around us are, we can still keep our faith. And so they're there for us so that we know that. In Hebrews 6:12 is where they first, in the New Testament, Paul, or the writer of this, as I said last week, we're not sure exactly. I gave my reasons why I believe it was Paul. But in chapter 6 and verse 12, he mentions the Old Testament faithful at this time, and it says, "That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." We have to understand that there are those that we can look to, and we can see that their faith was still there, so we know that ours can still be there, right? We don't have to give up. In other words, we can remain faithful. Remain faithful. So it's here. This chapter is placed here to help us take hold of this faith thing in God and His promises. All these people listed in chapter 11 are our witnesses. Now, if you turn just to Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to look at verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews chapter 12. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." eternal life, us having eternal life, where we have that, is totally dependent on God. You get that? Our eternal life is totally dependent on God. People say, well, I have to do... No. If you're going to add to what God has already done, you're not depending totally on God for your faith, for your salvation, rather, for your eternal life. We do have to ask God to forgive us of our sins. We have to repent. We have to do that part, yes. But we cannot, as I've said so many times, save ourselves. We have to rely totally, 100% upon God. And that is what it's required for us to have eternal life, is that we have to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to repent of our sins. We have to accept the free gift of eternal life that's only available from the Lord Jesus Christ. As for us having assurance of salvation, that depends on our acceptance of faith. Faith. How do you have assurance of your salvation? By faith, right? We believe by faith in God that we have assurance of salvation because He said in His Word that we can know for sure that we have eternal life. We have that by faith. We have that assurance by faith. Now, there's a lot of people who say, yes, it's a bunch of fables. Yes, it's a bunch of just man-written stuff. But the fact remains, it doesn't matter what you or I think about the Word of God. It doesn't change it. It's still truth. We have to believe and trust God. I thank God that His job to save. Can you imagine if it was our job to save people? Can you imagine how, you think it's bad out there now in the world? Can you imagine how many people would be beat near to death till they accepted Jesus Christ as Savior? Because I've got to tell you, I've seen, and I'm going to pick on Independent Baptists because I are one, right? I've seen us in action. And I've seen where we get violently upset with people because they won't believe what we believe. That's not faith. That's not faith. Can you imagine people out there, you know, pistol whipping somebody till they, you're going to accept Christ or I'm going to beat you near to death, right? You don't want to kill them because you want them to still have the opportunity, right? But you want them to know that you want them to have it. Folks, it's not wrong for us to want people to have faith in Jesus Christ. It's another thing to force it upon them. Jesus never forced anyone. He gave them a choice. Believing and trusting God and His promises is what faith in God is. So the people found in this chapter appear in chronological order, by the way. Verses 3 through 7 are found in the first 9 chapters of Genesis. Verses 8 through 22 are to do with the period of the patriarchs. 23 through 31 are about the time of Moses. And 32 through 38 cover the history of the judges, the prophets, and the faithful martyrs. Last week we had the first in the series, as I said, and we talked about the first 3 verses. Now I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but I do want to look at them real quick and so we can have this idea of this thing we look at called faith. So let's look at verses 1 through 3 real quick, and then we'll move on. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. As we get into the lives of these different individuals in this chapter, let's keep in mind that they were just ordinary people. See, we read of them in the Bible and they must have been spectacular. They made it into the Bible, right? No, they were ordinary people. Kind of interesting, huh? They say, well, God could never use me because I'm just an ordinary person. The people in the Bible were just ordinary people. some of them allowed God to use them in a mighty way. And so we hear a lot about them. People like Paul, right? Paul was an ordinary sinner, and on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus. And his life changed dramatically. And thank God it did. But just ordinary people, sinful people, sinful people. They're mentioned here because they believed God. They believed God. They're found again in many different places, in many different circumstances, various times. But they all had one thing in common. Faith in the one true God. Faith in the one true God. The first three people that we see mentioned here were before the flood. We see Abel and Enoch and Noah, the antediluvian believers. Beginning with Abel, the very first one mentioned, God put down a principle that would apply to one and all from then on. That man must approach God one way. There's one way to approach God, and it's by faith. And that salvation will be by faith in Christ alone. Period. I like where God puts a period. Man decides he wants to put a comma and add to it. But God put a period there. Faith is in Christ alone, period. It's what we need. All Old Testament sacrifices were pictures and types of the supreme sacrifice to come. The Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of all mankind. The Old Testament believers were looking forward. We look back. But we all have to have faith in the same thing, the same person, the person of Jesus Christ. So we look, they look ahead to the cross, we look backwards to the cross. Jesus said this over in John chapter 12 and verse 32. John 12:32, he said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Jesus, in the Old Testament, says, turn over to, and we're going to be back to Hebrews, but turn over to Isaiah 43. We're going to look at a couple verses in Isaiah. But Isaiah 43, verse 11. He says, "I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." Turn to chapter 45 and verse 21. We're looking at the latter part of the verse. And he says, "And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me." People are going to have to settle it in their heart and in their mind exactly who Jesus is. They have to decide, each one. Jesus says he is the great I Am of the Bible. Of the entire Bible. But again, whatever they decide regarding Jesus doesn't change who he is. There's a lot of people who have said Jesus was just a good prophet. Jesus was just a good man. But they don't want to believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. They don't want to believe that. It still doesn't change who he is. He told Moses from the burning bush, he said, "I am that I am." Right? He said, "I am that I am." And he said, when you go and tell the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. And then look at John chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 56 through 58. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. The joy of Abraham refers to the birth of Isaac. Abraham saw in Isaac the hope of mankind and the promise of the Messiah, the promised seed. Verse 4 of chapter 11 of Hebrews again, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Even though Abel is dead, his faith still speaks for him. We look at Genesis chapter 4. We're going to look at a couple things in Genesis. So look at Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Genesis chapter 4. Verses 1 through 5. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. What was the difference between these two offerings? See, we think, well, they both made an offering, right? Well, remember when Adam and Eve sinned, and God went to the garden, and he was looking for them, and they hid themselves, right? He says, why did you hide yourselves, right? Well, because we were naked. So God made them a covering for their nakedness. A coat of skin. How did he get the coat of skin? A sacrifice had to be made to get that coat of skin. And so here we have that picture of what we needed. God took this coat of skins and clothed them. This is an origin here of sacrifice, and God made it clear to man that this was the first picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. God rejected their fig leaves, covering their nakedness, and God made a sacrifice. He took an animal and sacrificed the animal so their nakedness could be covered. They would not have been aware or convicted of their nakedness had they not partaken of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Genesis 2, 16 and 17, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Surely die. Then we're going to look at verses, chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now, God knew what happened, right? God knew exactly what happened. They weren't hiding anything from God. But see, man thinks that we can get away with things because we just hide from God, right? We quit talking to God. We quit going to church. We quit reading the Bible. And we think, our sin's covered. It's not what covers our sin. It's not what covers our sin. And then Adam had to confess his sin, right? But he immediately said, "The woman thou gavest me." Oh, finger pointing. Started way back in the garden. And then Eve said, "Oh, wait a minute. It wasn't me. It was that serpent. He beguiled me." See, ever since then, everybody always blames somebody else for what their sin is. There's always a reason, right? And it's never our fault. And yet, we tend to blame people, but only when we get caught, right? If you don't get caught, you don't need to blame anyone, right? But I just said God already knows. So guess what? You're already caught. You're already caught. It didn't work for them blaming somebody else. It's not going to work for us. This knowledge of a sacrificial offering was handed down to their sons, Abel and Cain. God had revealed to them what sacrifice they were to bring. Perhaps a lamb, right? A lamb pointing to Christ, of which they knew nothing of. There are two ways that people approach God. Two. The true way and the false way. And these are represented by Cain and by Abel and the offerings which they brought to the Lord. Cain was rejected because his offering was not acceptable to God. Abel was accepted because the offering he brought was acceptable to God. We are all like Abel or Cain, believers or unbelievers, right? So how did Abel exercise faith in the Lord? Both men built an altar. Both of them did that. Cain brought of the offering of the fruit of the ground, the things he grew. And Abel brought the offering of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. A sacrificial lamb, so to speak. To Cain, his offering was more attractive than Abel's, right? So what looks better, a nice tray of vegetables and all, or some meat that's been slaughtered? Guess it depends on what you're hungry for, right? But he's saying, this was so much more beautifully displayed, right? Because we always try to display our works so beautifully so that God will accept them. But that's not what God said we were to do. He had made it perfectly clear exactly what the sacrifice was supposed to be. He revealed his way of salvation to Adam and Eve, who then in turn would pass down to their children. So while Cain placed on the altar the fruits of his labor, the grain, the vegetables which he raised of his own efforts, Abel, his brother, took a perfect lamb, killed it, poured the blood on the side of the altar, and placed the lamb on the altar. Abel's offering anticipated the coming of the Lamb of God. Abel's offering was acceptable. Cain's was not. See, there's only one way for a sinner to rightly approach God. Only one way. And that is through the shed blood of the Lamb of God. It's the only way. And to exercise faith in God, this means to recognize this fact and approach Him in this way. Today, just like always, man has tried to bring his own works to God and say, "But God, this should be acceptable in your sight. Look at all these things I've done for you." Well, unfortunately, all the things we've done for him is not acceptable to him. Abel exercised faith by acknowledging his sin and his need of God's forgiveness. Cain's sacrifice made no acknowledgement of sin whatsoever. But Abel's sacrifice and offering spoke not only of sin, but also God's remedy for sin. See, we see in it that he has sinned, and God's remedy for sin is the shedding of blood. In fact, the Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Over in Hebrews 9:22, Cain was the first man who brought his works to God. Since then, a lot of people are still coming to God with their works. I have to tell you, the list of man's works is endless. Man thinks he can work himself to heaven. The Bible says that's not true. Not true at all. The reason we come to God in the first place is because we are sinners. Right? We realize that there is a penalty for sin, and that we need that penalty to be paid. Because the penalty of sin, the Bible says, is death. That penalty must be paid. That is the reason a lamb had to be slain. Abel's sacrificial offering could not take away sin, but it foreshadowed the coming of Christ, who is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Thank God that God laid all this out. Even in the Old Testament, way back in Genesis, he laid out exactly what was required. And it's never changed. No matter how many times man's tried to change God's plan, it's never changed. Abel's offering pointed to Christ, and he came by faith. That is the way of salvation. In Jude verse 11, said, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." They've gone in the way of Cain. You believe? He says, "Woe unto them, because they've gone in the way of Cain." Cain was the first human being born of human parents, and he was also the first murderer. It didn't take long for sin to get all the way to murder, did it? Not very long at all. Abel exercised faith by recognizing that no work or effort on his own could gain his acceptance before God. Perhaps Cain brought the best that he had, right? The best vegetables, the best fruits, the best grains, the best of everything. But it was not acceptable. It didn't work. It wasn't what God said. See, over and over and over, man wants to take what God said, throw it out, and say, "I can do it my way." And that was Cain. That's what he showed us. I'm not doing this God's way, I'm doing this my way, and God has to accept it. And God said, "No, I don't. And no, I won't. I set out the way things are to be done. If you're going to come to me, it's going to be my way." People said, "Well, that's kind of narrow-minded." Well, it's God's salvation. It's God's heaven. He gets to pick. And he didn't ask us our opinion. So we just have to live with what he said. Turn over to Isaiah, please, chapter 64. A lot of you will know exactly where I'm going. Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Our good works are filthy rags before Almighty God. He's saying, I'm not accepting that. You read about heaven, how glorious it is, and you think you're going to get there with filthy rags to trade for it? Not going to happen. Turn to Romans, please, chapter 3. Verses 21 and 22. Romans 3, verses 21 and 22. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. And then Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3:5 is another one. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Then back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, he was counted a righteous man. A righteous man. Over and over and over, you see that these people were counted righteous. Not because of what they did, but because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Because they believed God. They trusted God. They followed God's way. This means that Abel believed, and through his offering, God had accepted him and had justified him. Abel's faith, therefore, brought him the assurance of salvation. Our faith in Christ and the finished work on Calvary should bring us assurance as well. We can have assurance of salvation because over and over and over God said something, God fulfilled it, and by faith people believed it. We can look back and we can say these people believed God and look what happened. We can believe God and look what will happen. We read in our text that Abel, by faith, still speaks even though he is dead. This means that Abel continues to proclaim from age to age that there is only one way for the guilty sinner to be saved. There's only one way that is acceptable way for man to approach God. Only one way. That way is through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. One way. Doesn't matter if people like that. That's what the Word of God says. So we have to decide, are we going to go one way, the only way, or are we going to try and go our way? Are we going to, by faith, believe God? Or are we going to say, I don't need that. I can get there my own self, right? Reminds me of kids. They need help. They're firstborn. They can't do anything for themselves. And then one day, right, they get old enough, I do it my own self, right? I do it my own self. I do it my own self. They have to stumble and fall a few times before they figure it out, right? Then we think, as we get older and older and we grow, and we think, I just do it my own self. I don't need any help. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're not going to do it your own self. You can't do it your own self. By faith, you have to believe in Jesus Christ, trust Him for salvation, and it's all by faith. By faith. The heroes of the faith have shown us over and over, and will continue on through this journey, and we'll see. By faith, they believed in the one and only true God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for your word. Father, we don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder if our sacrifice, if what we've done is enough, because all we have to do is trust by faith in the sacrifice that Jesus, the Lord and Savior of the world, has already given. It's not by our works, but it's what's already been finished. The finished work of Calvary. And we have to believe it by faith. Father, this morning, if there's anyone in our midst that has never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, I pray that today, this morning, before we leave this place, that they would accept that free gift of eternal life. Father, for those of us who have, let's not lose the faith. Let's not hear from you that we have little faith, but let's keep the faith. Let's keep believing. Let's keep trusting. Because without you, we really have nothing. So I pray, Father, during the time of invitation, that we would be willing to pour our hearts out to you. Maybe it's for salvation. Maybe it's for direction. Maybe it's for guidance. Maybe it's for wisdom. For whatever it is, Father, I pray we'd use this time wisely. For it's in the blessed name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.